Chapter 25. Clearing up all doubts, if any existed, of the disinterestedness of Mr. A. Jingle's character, there are in London several old inns, once the headquarters of celebrated coaches, in the days when coaches performed their journeys in a graver and more solemn manner than they do in these times, but which have now degenerated into little more than the abiding and booking places of country wagons. The reader would look in vain for any of these ancient hostelries, among the Golden Crosses and Bull and Mouths, which rear their stately fronts in the improved streets of London. If he would light upon any of these old places, he must direct his steps to the obscure quarters of the town, and there in some secluded nooks he will find several, still standing with a kind of gloomy sturdiness, amidst the modern innovations which surround them. In the borough especially, there still remain some half dozen old inns, which have preserved their external features unchanged, and which have escaped alike the rage for public improvement, and the encroachments of private speculation. Great, rambling, queer old places they are, with galleries, and passages, and staircases, wide enough and antiquated enough to furnish materials for 100 ghost stories, supposing we should ever be reduced to the lamentable necessity of inventing any, and that the world should exist long enough to exhaust the innumerable veracious legends connected with Old London Bridge and its adjacent neighborhood on the Surrey side. It was in the yard of one of these inns, of no less celebrated a one than the White Hart, that a man was busily employed in brushing the dirt off a pair of boots, early on the morning succeeding the events narrated in the last chapter. He was habited in a coarse, striped waistcoat, with black calico sleeves, and blue glass buttons, drab breeches and leggings. A bright red handkerchief was wound in a very loose and unstudied style round his neck, and an old white hat was carelessly thrown on one side of his head. There were two rows of boots before him, one cleaned and the other dirty, and at every addition he made to the clean row, he paused from his work and contemplated its results with evident satisfaction. The yard presented none of that bustle and activity which are the usual characteristics of a large coach inn. Three or four lumbering wagons, each with a pile of goods beneath its ample canopy, about the height of the second floor window of an ordinary house, were stowed away beneath a lofty row, of which extended over one end of the yard, and another, which was probably to commence its journey that morning, was drawn out into the open space. A double tier of bedroom galleries, with old clumsy balustrades, ran round two sides of the straggling area, and a double row of bells to correspond, sheltered from the weather by a little sloping roof, hung over the door leading to the bar and coffee room. Two or three gigs and chaise carts were wheeled up under different little sheds and penthouses, and the occasional heavy tread of a cart horse, or rattling of a chain at the farther end of the yard, announced to anybody who cared about the matter that the stable lay in that direction. When we add that a few boys in smock frocks were lying asleep on heavy packages, wool packs, and other articles that were scattered about on heaps of straw, we have described as fully as need be the general appearance of the yard of the White Hart Inn, High Street, Borough, on the particular morning in question. A loud ringing of one of the bells was followed by the appearance of a smart chambermaid in the upper sleeping gallery, who, after tapping at one of the doors, and receiving a request from within, called over the balustrade, "Sam!" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, hollow, apostrophe," replied the man with the white hat. "Number 22 wants his boots." "Apostrophe, ask number 22, either he'll have 'em now, or wait till he gets 'em," apostrophe was the reply. "Come, don't be a fool, Sam," apostrophe said the girl coaxingly, "the gentleman wants his boots directly." "Apostrophe, well, you are a nice young woman for a musical party, you are," apostrophe said the boot cleaner. "Look at these here boots, 11 pair o' boots, and one shoe as belongs to number 6, with the wooden leg. The 11 boots is to be called at 8:30 and the shoe at 9. Who's number 22, that's to put all the others out?" "No, no, Reglar rotation, as Jack Ketch said, Fendi tied the men up. Sorry to keep you a waiting, sir, but I'll attend to you directly. Apostrophe, saying which, the man in the white hat set to work upon the top boot with increased assiduity. There was another loud ring, and the bustling old landlady of the White Hart made her appearance in the opposite gallery. Sam, apostrophe cried the landlady, where's that lazy, idle why, Sam-o, there you are, why don't you answer? Apostrophe, won't be genteel to answer, till you done talking, apostrophe replied Sam gruffly. Here, clean these shoes for number 17 directly, and take 'em to private sitting room, number 5, first floor. Apostrophe, the landlady flung a pair of ladies' shoes into the yard, and bustled away. Number 5, apostrophe said Sam, as he picked up the shoes, and taking a piece of chalk from his pocket, made a memorandum of their destination on the sole ladies' shoes and private sitting room. I suppose she didn't come in the vagin. Apostrophe, she came in early this morning, apostrophe cried the girl, who was still leaning over the railing of the gallery, with a gentleman in a hackney coach, and it's him as wants his boots, and you'd better do 'em, that's all about it. Apostrophe, why didn't you say so before, apostrophe said Sam, with great indignation, singling out the boots in question from the heap before him. For all I know he was one o' the regular threepennies. Private room, and a lady too. If he's anything of a gentleman, he's worth a shilling a day, let alone the errands. Apostrophe stimulated by this inspiring reflection, Mr. Samuel brushed away with such hearty goodwill, that in a few minutes the boots and shoes, with a polish which would have struck envy to the soul of the amiable Mr. Warren, for they used Day and Martin at the White Hart, had arrived at the door of number 5. Come in, apostrophe said a man's voice, in reply to Sam's rap at the door. Sam made his best bow, and stepped into the presence of a lady and gentleman seated at breakfast. Having officiously deposited the gentleman's boots right and left at his feet, and the lady's shoes right and left at hers, he backed towards the door. Boots, apostrophe said the gentleman. Sir, apostrophe said Sam, closing the door, and keeping his hand on the knob of the lock. Do you know what's a name, Doctor's Commons? Apostrophe, yes, sir. Apostrophe, where is it? Apostrophe, Paul's Churchyard, sir. Low archway on the carriage side, booksellers at one corner, hotel on the other, and two porters in the middle as touts for licenses. Apostrophe, touts for licenses. Apostrophe, said the gentleman. Touts for licenses, apostrophe replied Sam. Two coves in white aprons touches their hats when you walk in. License, sir, license? Queer sort, them, and their masters too, Sir Old Bailey Proctors and no mistake. Apostrophe, what do they do? Apostrophe, inquired the gentleman. Do. You, sir. That ain't the worst on it, neither. They puts things into old gentlemen's heads as they never dreamed of. My father, sir, was a coachman. A widower he was, and fat enough for anything uncommon fat, to be sure. His missus dies, and leaves him £400. Down he goes to the commons, to see the lawyer and draw the blunt very smart top boots on nosegay in his buttonhole broad brim tile green shawl quite the gentleman. Goes through the archway, thinking how he should enlist the money. Up comes the touter, touches his hat. License, sir, license? What's that? Says my father. License, sir, says he. What license? Says my father. Marriage license, says the touter. Dash my vesket, says my father, I never thought o' that. I think he wants one, sir, says the touter. My father pulls up, and thinks a bit. No, says he, damn, I'm too old, sides, I'm a many sizes too large, says he. Not a bit on it, sir, says the touter. Think not? Says my father. I'm sure not, says he. We married a gentleman twice your size, last Monday. Did you, though? Said my father. To be sure, we did, says the touter, you're a babby to him this way, sir this way. And sure enough my father walks arter him, like a tame monkey behind a organ, into a little back office, where a teller sat among dirty papers, and tin boxes, making believe he was busy. Pray take a seat, while I makes out the affidavit, sir, says the lawyer. Thank ye, sir, says my father, and down he sat, and stared with all his eyes, and his mouth wide open, at the names on the boxes. What's your name, sir, says the lawyer. Tony Weller, says my father. Parrish, says the lawyer. Bell Savage, says my father, for he stopped there when he drove up, and he knowed nothing about parishes, he didn't. And what's the lady's name, says the lawyer. My father was struck all of a heap. Blessed if I know, says he. Not know, says the lawyer. No more nor you do, says my father. Can't I put that in other words? Impossible, says the lawyer. Worry well, says my father, after he'd thought a moment, put down Mrs. Clark. What Clark? Says the lawyer, dipping his pen in the ink. Susan Clark, Marcus O'Granby, Dorking, says my father, she'll have me, if I ask. I dare say I never said nothing to her, but she'll have me, I know. The license was made out, and she did have him, and what's more she's got him now, and I never had any of the £400, worse luck. Beg your pardon, sir, apostrophe said Sam, when he had concluded, but when I gets on this here grievance, I runs on like a new barrel with the wheel greased. Apostrophe having said which, and having paused for an instant to see whether he was wanted for anything more, Sam left the room. 9:30, just the time off at once, apostrophe said the gentleman, whom we need hardly introduce as Mr. Jingle. Time for what? Apostrophe said the spinster aunt coquettishly. License, dearest of angels, give notice at the church call you mine, tomorrow, said Mr. Jingle, and he squeezed the spinster aunt's hand. The license, apostrophe said Rachel, blushing. The license, apostrophe repeated Mr. Jingle in hurry, post haste for a license, in hurry, ding dong I come back. Apostrophe, how you run on, apostrophe said Rachel. Run on nothing to the hours, days, weeks, months, years, when we're united run on they'll fly on bolt missile steam engine 1,000 horsepower nothing to it. Apostrophe, can't we be married before tomorrow morning? Apostrophe inquired Rachel. Impossible can't be notice at the church leave the license today ceremony come off tomorrow. Apostrophe I am so terrified, lest my brother should discover us. Apostrophe said Rachel. Discover nonsense too much shaken by the breakdown besides extreme caution gave up the post chaise walked on took a hackney coach came to the borough last place in the world that he'd look in ha. Capital notion that very. Apostrophe, don't be long, apostrophe said the spinster affectionately, as Mr. Jingle stuck the pinched up hat on his head. Long away from you? Cruel charmer, apostrophe and Mr. Jingle skipped playfully up to the spinster aunt, imprinted a chaste kiss upon her lips, and danced out of the room. Dear man, apostrophe said the spinster, as the door closed after him. Rum old girl, apostrophe said Mr. Jingle, as he walked down the passage. It is painful to reflect upon the perfidy of our species, and we will not, therefore, pursue the thread of Mr. Jingle's meditations, as he wended his way to Doctor's Commons. It will be sufficient for our purpose to relate that escaping the snares of the dragons in white aprons, who guard the entrance to that enchanted region, he reached the Vicar General's office in safety, and having procured a highly flattering address on parchment, from the Archbishop of Canterbury, to his trusty and well-beloved Alfred Jingle and Rachel Wardle, greeting, apostrophe he carefully deposited the mystic document in his pocket, and retraced his steps in triumph to the borough. He was yet on his way to the White Hart, when two plump gentlemen and one thin one entered the yard, and looked round in search of some authorized person, of whom they could make a few inquiries. Mr. Samuel Weller happened to be at that moment engaged in burnishing a pair of painted tops, the personal property of a farmer who was refreshing himself with a slight lunch of 2 or 3 pounds of cold beef, and a pot or two of porter, after the fatigues of the borough market, and to him the thin gentleman straightway advanced. "My friend," apostrophe said the thin gentleman. "Here one o' the advice gratis order," apostrophe thought Sam, "or you wouldn't be so worry fond o' me all at once." Apostrophe but he only said, "Well, sir." Apostrophe, "my friend," apostrophe said the thin gentleman, with a conciliatory hem, "have you got many people stopping here now?"
"Pretty busy."
"Eh?" Apostrophe, Sam stole a look at the inquirer. He was a little high-dried man, with a dark squeezed-up face, and small, restless, black eyes, that kept winking and twinkling on each side of his little inquisitive nose, as if they were playing a perpetual game of peep-bo with that feature. He was dressed all in black, with boots as shiny as his eyes, a low white neckcloth, and a clean shirt with a frill to it. A gold watch chain, and seals, depended from his fob. He carried his black kid gloves in his hands, and not on them, and as he spoke, thrust his wrists beneath his coattails, with the air of a man who was in the habit of propounding some regular posers.
"Pretty busy, eh?"
Apostrophe apostrophe said the little man. "Oh, worry well, sir," apostrophe replied Sam, "we shan't be bankrupts, and we shan't make our fortunes. We eats our biled mutton without capers, and don't care for horseradish when we can get beef." Apostrophe, "ah," apostrophe said the little man, "you're a wag, ain't you?" Apostrophe, "my eldest brother was troubled with that complaint," apostrophe said Sam, "it may be catching I used to sleep with him." Apostrophe, "this is a curious old house of yours," apostrophe said the little man, looking round him. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.